morning.
Good morning, Megan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Good Morning America, which is the podcast that you're listening to.
I'm Jane Qualley.
I'm Mark Ruffalo.
What?
He's guesting today.
Oh, okay.
I'm guesting today on Good Morning America.
Sure, and I'm guesting as well because normally I'm the host of 2020.
Oh, fascinating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you may know me from playing
The Hulk
on the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. What other roles have you played, Mark?
You know, just some traditional movie roles. I've played some men in films in addition to Big Green Monsters.
Mm-hmm. So, Real Gambit. I have probably a Peabody, you know, and lots of power suits, personally.
Congratulations. I like power suits.
Thank you. We're on today's episode of Morning America. Good Morning America. Morning America is a different show where everybody's sad about the death of America.
Aww.
On Good Morning America, we're going to talk about Magic the Gathering today.
That's right. Today, I, Mark Ruffalo, am going to be talking about Magic.
Great.
And, you know, I'm going to be giving some tips for new players.
Fabulous.
Some tips for players returning to the game.
Great.
And, you know, some good old-fashioned comedic acting for people who would like to giggle out of their mouths.
Well, that's a weird way to say that. I would have said something, me, Jane Pauley, would have said something like, the people that want to experience a tummy quake and have it come out of their shake and bake area.
Which area, Jane, is your shake and bake area?
Your mouth, because that's where you eat shake and bake.
Oh, correct. Correct. Thank you. A tummy quake is the less successful DQ Blizzard. It's like the offshoot of the cheese quake that did not go as well.
It just made people barf.
Yeah.
It was like soft serve and rocks.
I don't know why they thought that was going to be a good idea.
I don't know. What's the bird or animal that eats rocks to help with digestion?
I don't know. Did you know that they put magnets in cows' stomachs?
Why?
Because cows aren't particularly smart and they'll eat like bits of metal or fences, like fence posts and stuff like that. And their stomachs can't digest it, so it'll like tear up their organs inside. But if you
keep it in the stomach, it's okay?
Exactly. Like the little pieces of metal will attach to the magnet and like just like sit in there and be totally fine.
Why doesn't the magnet go through?
I don't know the answer to that.
Science.
Exactly.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about the Dragons of Tarkir pre-release.
That's right. Jane and I, Mark Ruffalo, were at the Dragons of Tarkir pre-release this past weekend.
Yes, we were.
Weekend.
We even went to a midnight one.
That's right. We went to both a midnight and a daytime pre-release, and we did a draft with some friends.
Yes,
so we have all of the Dragons of Tarkir business to give to you.
We're also going to talk about the worst cards in the set. It's our set review show.
That's right.
We won't tell you the good ones.
Mark Ruffalo.
Jane Qualley. What did I say my name was? Jane Pauley.
Jane Pauley.
I said Qualley.
Yeah, that's weird.
Sorry, I meant Pauley.
Well, anyways.
They're neighboring letters in the alphabet. Yes.
They certainly are. And sometimes I forget my own name. Instead of calling myself Mark Ruffalo, I call myself Mark Buffalo.
That's weird.
Because I wish that was my last name, frankly.
That would be way better.
It really would.
You're right.
Thank you.
We're also going to talk about what we're going to miss personally about saying goodbye to Cons of Tarkir.
Yeah, because do you know what? There are some things that we will miss.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to investigate a child murder.
Oh.
On tonight on 2020. That was
and
a perfect
this
impression.
On Good Morning America. So, Jane.
Yes, Mark.
Let's move on to I believe that we have a clip from some of the usual hosts of the show.
Yes, Maria and Megan.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They were at this midnight pre-release
as well.
And so we're going to go ahead and throw to a little clip of the two of them. I would say, having listened to it, deliriously tired.
Yes.
Deliriously tired at the midnight pre-release.
Take it away, ladies.
Megan, it's currently 3:40 in the morning.
That's right, Maria.
At the midnight pre-release, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty great. How are you?
I'm feeling like a bag of dicks.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't look like a bag of dicks.
Thank you. I look like a human woman.
That is a fact.
Megan, what's your favorite thing about your deck?
Dramoka.
Okay, fair. That card's insane. Why does it cost 6? Answer for wizards.
Well, we just thought a 5/7 flying lifelinker for 6 was pretty reasonable at rare.
That's a mythic rare. At rare, you thought that was reasonable, wizards?
I don't know what to tell ya. We're just here. We're trying to make cards, and inside our building it's the 1920s.
And you're old. You're like an old, weird newspaper man.
That's a fact. I've been working at this here newspaper, gaming company, since I was 12, and my parents apprenticed me to the original print designer.
We are out of our minds right now.
I don't know what you're talking about, Maria. I'm in my right sane mind.
I killed this monster. I killed this monster energy drink in like 10 minutes. It was great.
My stomach would be hollow. It would be rotted out. I can't do that.
My stomach is made of steel. It's reinforced.
Congratulations.
Next time, are you going to do a midnight seal next time, Megan?
Well, I don't know, Maria. Are you going to convince me to do one?
This marks the only time in history I've convinced you to do something.
That is not true. I'm sure there's something else in our lives that you've convinced me to do.
Maybe. You're usually the peer pressure one, though.
I'll accept that.
Okay. My favorite card in my deck is Shaman of the whatever his fucking name is. He makes mana, and he's mythic.
That's true. 2 mana for creature spells is insane.
I tried to use it to cast non-creature spell against Megan, and she was like, you don't try that shit on me.
Oh, you didn't try to cast a non-creature spell. You tried to unmorph something.
Yeah, I suppose that's not as egregious.
No, it's not.
It's
an acceptable mistake.
Thank you.
No problem.
Well, that's Maria and Megan signing off. We've still got one more round to go.
And then we're coming back at noon.
Yes, we are, because we're crazy. Magic makes you crazy.
Hey, that's another thing that you've convinced me to do in your life.
What?
Go to the noon tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, look at me.
Well, there you go.
Normally, I'm all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at the noon.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow. No. I'm going to be... What's the opposite of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? I'm going to be dark-eyed and with a really slack, loose-hanging tail. That sounds so...
A slack, loose-hanging tail.
Oh, God.
Whoa, those are 2 tired ladies.
Yes, they are. I mean, I personally have gotten very tired at times shooting the Avengers films.
Because, I can imagine.
Yeah, it is very physically taxing.
That last shawarma scene, you guys seemed real tired.
Yeah, we were exhausted.
And you fought bad guys. I mean, did you actually have to fight bad guys?
Yeah, everything that occurs in the films is real.
Yeah.
It takes a lot out of you.
I bet.
And it seems like that midnight pre-release took a lot out of
you. You know what's hard for me? Reporting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, Mark, why don't you tell me, Jane Pauley, and the listeners / viewers of Good Morning America / 2020 / Dateline NBC, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember which of those shows I actually hosted.
It's okay. Sometimes I also have memory issues.
What was your pre-release experience like for Dragons of Tarkir?
Well, I am not really a planner. You know, I'm just an actor. People give me lines.
Living in the moment.
I read them. I'm in the moment. I'm in character.
Yes.
Every time. So I don't really like to pre-prepare too much.
Yeah.
So I did not. I was the last person to sign up for
Classic
both pre-releases.
Mark Ruffalo.
And I ended up being Dramoka both times because that's what those were the dregs. Those were the dregs that nobody wanted. Do you know
poor
what?
Dramoka.
They were wrong. They were wrong.
I think they were wrong too. She seemed pretty strong.
She did. My midnight pre-release was especially cool.
Your deck was sick.
It was very sick. I had an Anafenza Kintree spirit. There you go. White when another for a 2/2 when another creature enters the battlefield, bolster 1.
Yep.
I mean,
solid.
Just amazing.
Value. That's what they call value town.
Exactly. There was a game that I won with only 3 lands in play because I went turn 2 Anafenza and I just went 2/2, 2/3, 3/3.
Oh my God.
And, you know, just
good night,
smashed a lot of
as
face.
My grandma would say. Good night.
And I had some of those light walkers, the two ones for one and a white that if they have a counter have flying. And then the sand crafter mage or something like that. The guy
2/2 that bolsters one?
Yes, the 2/2 for two and a white that bolsters one. And it was just like, it was so sweet. There were a lot of games where I went, you know, turn 2 light walker, turn 3 sand crafter mage. Boom. 3/2 flyer hitting you in the face on turn 3. Pretty sweet. I also had Dragon Lord Dromoka, who is a 5/7 uncounterable lifelinker.
Who is, I would like to say, unbeatable.
Yeah, that's true. Opponents can't cast spells on your turn.
No, she is real good. Sorry. I've been trying to look up if there's actually a value USA.
Oh, like city?
Yeah.
And Jane, you're an excellent reporter. So
I'm a reporter,
so
I'm going to find it out.
Yeah, you are also an excellent researcher. So if you tell us that there is a value or a value town USA.
I would really hope value town is the name of it. But it appears that there is not a value USA.
Oh, I'm disappointed, frankly.
Me too.
I mean, what is there to believe in America anymore besides a team of superheroes?
Nothing,
fighting,
I guess.
Evil.
These are just companies called Value City.
I believe that.
It was founded in 1917. Oh, headquartered in Columbus, but it's definitely not in value. Anyway, Dragon Lord Dromoka, sick as all fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Great, great card. And your deck had very good synergy.
Yeah, it did. And I also, you know, people were uncertain how good the uncommon dragons, the single color
Megamorph
dragons. I was very happy. I had a green one and a white one, and I played both. And most of the time, I did play them as face down creatures and trade them off. But sometimes it's like you get to 7 mana, and
it's fine.
You know, you have a 4/4 flying lifelinker.
Yeah.
Which is not bad.
You need to answer
not
that.
Bad. So, Jane, tell me about your pre-release experiences.
Sure. Well, I also went to the Midnight Mark, and I played a Tarka because I wanted to beat down with some big smashy bros.
Yeah, man. Big smashy bros is the Tarka's deal.
First, I wanted you to ask me, over 2 pre-releases, how many dragons did I have?
Jane, over 2 pre-releases, how many dragons?
One mark, one dragon.
I'm so sorry. Which dragon was it?
It was the 5/3, a Tarka-colored dragon.
Boltwing Marauder.
Boltwing Marauder, yeah.
Wait, no, that's the black-red one, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Harbinger of the Hunt.
That sounds more right.
Yes.
Harbinger of the Hunt. And it was fine. It's not exactly where you super want to be because it only has 3 toughness.
Yeah.
But it does cost 5 mana, which is the bonus. And the other benefit is it can falter and cause creatures not to block, I believe, or
no,
just
deals,
do one damage.
It can deal. You can pay 2 in a green.
Or 2 in a red. Yeah.
Or 2 in a red. And 1 deals damage to other flyers and 1 deals damage to non-flyers.
That's right. I thought for some reason that it also caused them not to block, but that's not the case. No. That'd be too good.
But still pretty sweet.
Still pretty fine. Sweet. But the main point of my deck was that I had 5/5 elks. For 5.
Yeah. Those stampeding elk
that
herds,
was the star of this deck.
They were trouble.
They were sure trouble.
5/5 for 5. Hot damn.
I had a couple of them, and they were wonderful every time I played.
Yeah.
The one tricky thing my deck could do was play, what is this, the Mythic Shaman, and who can ramp you. He costs 2 and a green, and he can ramp you to pay for creature spells. And I also had the 2/4 that costs 2 and double green that, if you have Formidable, can tap for 3 colorless mana. And the neat thing that I could do was, obviously, besides ramp into good creatures like my elks early, was activate the 11 mana ability on the Shaman, who, by the way, cannot activate his own ability through paying for himself. But if I got to 11 mana, which I was one turn off of doing this, Megan, taking somebody from 20 life to 1 life, your life total becomes that of the number of creatures that you have. But at the very last moment, my mana producer was removed.
Maria, I'm so sorry. Jane.
Thank you.
Jane, I'm so sorry.
R.A.P. Yeah, it was going to be the most epic turn of my life. And I, like, didn't make other better plays because I wanted that to happen.
I have to say, Jane, that, I mean, this just shows us all
how fallible
we are, how infallible we are not.
Yes.
We we dream of getting to 11 mana. But...
I know. Just to play a really stupid effect on a card. I know.
Oh, well.
Another card I really liked in this deck, which was Big Fatty Fat Beatdowns. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the 5-1 Hexproof. Mm-hmm. Even though I wasn't using it how I think it's meant to be used, which is with white to put auras on it. I still enjoyed it.
I think bolstering it. I had one of those bolstering it. On the daytime pre-release, and I had a lot of bolster effects.
Sure.
I had the enchantment for 1 and a white that for 2 and a white bolsters one, which, you know, I was not sure how that card would be, but you know what? I think it's playable.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't want a ton. I mean, I'm not going to play more than one, but no. I would play the first one.
Yeah, I think I would too. This format overall, I felt was slower. It slowed down. As evidenced by my even being able to contemplate getting to 11 mana. But I was able to get to 8 mana. Is that what it costs to flip over the segmented worm guy?
Oh, no, that's, or is that that's 7?
Okay. Well, anyway, I had no problem getting to 7 mana, which is saying something. I reliably
got to 7 as well many times.
Yeah, I think the format has slowed down. That's not to say that dash isn't a thing, because I do think you can get dashed to death. That's definitely something Absolutely. That can happen to you. But on the whole, I'd say slower. And so, what was my point was, I like that bear. The 3-2 bear for 3 for 2 can regenerate once you've got Formidable.
Yeah, I agree. I think that bear is quality. I like that bear. I think that Formidable in general is a little bit better than I was expecting it to be, because it's easier to get Formidable.
Yes, I had absolutely no problem getting Formidable ever. Exactly. Pretty much.
So it happened pretty quickly, which was nice to see, because it was like, oh, well, that will in fact be, you know, a good mechanic.
I also was a fan of Press the Advantage. Double green, +2/+2 and trample instant.
To two creatures. Two creatures. I agree. I think that card is very good.
It is much better than I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Because, let's be honest, in your green deck, what are you doing anyway? You're beating down green-red, especially.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in that deck, it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like,
and I have to say, when we drafted on Sunday with some friends, yeah. I drafted a blue-green deck that was mostly flyers. But I had one press the advantage, because if you're beating down with flyers, like... adding 4 power, like it's 4 matters. Damage in the air is, you know, pretty brutal.
And I think that, like, what can you do? Like, for instance, there was one time I basically knew I was going to lose to you in this draft, and I knew you were going to cast Press the Advantage. But I was just like, what am I going to do? Like, agreed. Sit like, here forever? You're going to cast it. At some point, it's going to be good even if I don't block.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's a card that I think is better than people think it is.
Absolutely. Yep. Another card that I was thrilled with, yes. again in draft, was Ojutai's Summons.
Mm.
The Seems one great. That 3 blue-blue, make a 2-2 flyer, and then rebound, make a 2-2 flyer.
Yes, better than I expected.
Very good.
Especially when you have 2 of them, Megan.
I put 2 of them. I had 2 of them in my deck, and I was so happy.
I mean, Mark.
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
I am, in fact, the famous actor Mark Ruffalo.
Is it right Ruffalo after this, or Ruffalo?
Ruffalo.
Just checking.
I know it's my name.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of people say Ruffalo and they're incorrect.
Well, I said my name wrong at the beginning of the show, I'm pretty sure, so.
I mean, pronunciation is a difficult thing
for all of us. I'm very drunk right now.
So I also had 2 Ojutai's Interceptors, which are the 3-1 flyer that megamorphs for 4. To become a 4-2 flyer. Brutal.
Brutal.
Brutal. I would draft infinite of those. And I would draft...
How much does it cost? It's the Megamorph.
It's a Megamorph. So play it face down for 3. Flip it for 4.
5? For 4?
For 4. You flip it for 4.
Oh, God.
Flipping 4. Seems for good. For a 4-2 Seems flyer. Good. I would... I don't know that there is a ceiling on how many. 5. 5 is the ceiling. Same goes for Ojutai's Summons.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah.
I've been in a lot of extreme situations during filming, and but no situation as extreme as so many flyers.
Megan, I mean Mark, God damn it. Mark.
Yes, Jane.
Going back to the sealed format
yes,
for dragons.
Absolutely.
You also sealed it. This is the past tense of playing sealed. You sealed it
yes.
The next day as well.
Yes.
What you drafted, fuck. Sealed in Dromoka again.
Again, as we mentioned before, I am not a planner.
No.
So I had last choice, which is, you know, unique for me. I am such a well-respected actor that a lot of times I get first pick of roles.
Well, yeah. I mean, you go into a restaurant, people just pay your bill.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
I suppose you're going to say the same things that you said about your other deck now that I've...
Well, you know, I have to say it was a very different deck.
Yes.
It was very different. It was not as powerful. I did have Arashan Sovereign, which is the 5 green-white 6/6 dragon that when it dies, yeah, you can put it on top or on bottom.
Seems good.
So when you get to cast it, it is quite good.
Fatty, fat runner-up cutest card.
Very good. But I certainly lost to a Deathbringer Regent who was...
Brought the death.
Insane.
I, in my second pre-release, played Silumgar.
Ah.
Silumgar's Brood. If you will. I decided to do this because I was being a little weird. This is not normally the kind of deck I would ever, you know, actively be like, this is what I would like to play, and this is what I think I'm strong at playing, because neither of those things are true. But I wanted to stretch myself and try it out because people were talking about Exploit, and I wanted to see if it was any good.
I often, as an actor, try and find roles that will help me stretch my boundaries.
Yeah, like what?
Like, the time that I played the Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Was different because I am not a doctor or a monster. But in this film, I was playing both.
Great example.
Thank
Funny,
you.
I thought you were going to pick some other role, but... All right.
No.
All right, the that Hulk. So Silumgar's deck that I built, I would say... excuse me. If I was drafting, this would be a sweet, sweet, delicious pile of cheesecake. Because it had like... everything that you want out of an Exploit deck, meaning 3 of the 1/2s who gets back another creature from your graveyard when it dies, a couple Palace Familiars, Value Town, USA, speaking of, draw a card upon its death, and the 2 of the 2/3 flyers that for an Exploit can draw you 2 cards, you lose 2 life. Wonderful stuff like that. And it turned out that that Exploit is a good mechanic. The problem was, the finisher that I had was not a dragon, as aforementioned. I only had one in my entire double pre-release. In fact, it was nothing good. I had Clone Legion, which is 7 blue-blue. You put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of all creatures target player controls.
9 mana, Jane. That's ambitious.
That's 9 mana. I was like, is this a joke that I'm putting this in my deck? But I really didn't know what else to do. So I did. Turns out that card's not good.
Did you ever cast it?
Don't play it. No, I never played it. And in fact, sometimes when I drew it, when I had the option to draw it, say, off of my 2/3 flyer or my many other card draw spells, which I had, I didn't even want it. Yep. I wanted just other dudes.
Absolutely.
So, bad card. But I think I should have cast it once and I didn't. That being said, yeah, my deck just wanted a finisher, but it didn't have one. And that was its downfall. Maybe just 1 or 2 threats. That's all it needed. Maybe only one.
Absolutely.
But what are you going to do? It was really fun. And I do think that, you know, I would say, I don't know how easily it's going to come together for people in draft, but maybe you'll get it. I just happen to have that seeded pack, which helped things out a lot, I think, in being able to get all the pieces.
Absolutely.
I think it'll be one of the more fun decks to play, for sure.
The Exploit
deck. Yep.
Absolutely. Well, I think, and you know, I say this all the time when I'm at home with my wife, Sunrise, and our 3 children.
Did you just look that up?
No, it's my wife. I know it.
Your wife's name is not Sunrise.
My wife's name is Sunrise.
Are you lying to me right now?
I am not. I would not lie to you about this.
Oh my God.
Are you laughing at my wife's name right now, Jane?
No, I mean...
When I'm at home with my wife, Sunrise, and our 3 children, I tell them, you always need to be on the lookout for learning experiences. And I think that this weekend was a perfect example of a learning experience.
Oh, my Jane. God. Why is your wife... Were her parents hippies?
Yes, they were.
Or did
they
she
were.
Change her name?
No, they were just giant hippies. And, you know, she really is like a ray of sunshine in my life, so.
I actually legitimately love that her name is Sunrise.
Thank you.
FYI.
I love it also.
I was just shocked by the fact that is really her name.
What can I say?
Yep.
So, you know, I had a great time.
It was so fun.
I hated Fate Reforged.
I know you did.
thought it was total crap.
I loved
it. Worst. I hated it so much. I finally felt this weekend like my decisions mattered. Like I had choices that could make a difference.
Still very bomby, but not impossible to beat.
Exactly.
There's more removal.
You know, there is more removal. And also importantly, a lot of the bombs are dragons. And there is a lot of flyer specific removal.
Guess who my husband is?
Who is your husband, Jane?
Gary Trudeau. And I have three children.
Oh, congratulations. Just FYI. We have that in common.
But I'm well known for revealing little, if anything, about my private life.
Oh. Well.
But I do have bipolar disorder. Oh.
Wow.
Yikes.
Jane, I'm so sorry. That is a difficult thing to struggle with.
But do you know who Gary Trudeau is?
No, I...
He's famous for something else.
What is he famous for?
Writing Doonesbury.
Wow. Do you know what? Having met you now, that does not surprise me.
Yeah, that's true.
That's an intellectual cartoon.
Yeah, I guess so.
In like a old person way.
Appropriate, as I am 64 years old.
Oh. Well, you know, I'm only 47. So, Jane, in addition to going to these two pre-releases, we also did a draft with some friends.
Friend draft.
Absolutely. On Sunday evening with some of the packs that we had gotten.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about what your experience was like.
Sure. It was crazy. It was cray towns.
Absolutely. Tell me more, please.
Well, I opened a Serac Caller of the Hunt.
Oh, yes.
Being very careful there. Not Holler of the Cunt. That's sorry.
Jane, why would you go and say it if you were just saying that you were happy that you didn't
slip
out?
Jane, I don't know.
You're a better reporter than
I hope
this,
we weren't on live on the air. Were we?
We are in fact live on the air.
Okay. Oops. FCC. Sorry. And unfortunately, green was not to be for me, although he would have been fun to play with, because a 5-4-4-4 with a extra super ability on him seems pretty good. So I ended up drafting a white-black, which with a deck that turned out, I looked at it and thought it looked good, turned out to be underpowered and didn't have enough oomph, didn't have enough finish. Same as my Silumgar deck, I think.
That's certainly been a problem that I've encountered in draft before.
I think, you know, I don't know if I was drafting the wrong colors or what, but I was drafting, I think, maybe too highly the 5-mana 2/3 bolster bird, which I think is a fine card. But
I think it's fine, but you don't want a bunch of them.
I mean, in a format with 5/7 dragons and whatnot, it looks a little sad.
Agreed. It's a little bummer.
So, and I was kind of trying to be warriors, but guess what? There's not as many warriors.
That's true.
I mean, there are warriors still, but I don't... The jury's out on if that is as good of a strategy anymore. I mean, maybe in some cases it is, but... Mm-hmm. So it just didn't come together. Looked good on paper, was not powerful enough in the end. So I think the lesson learned is you still really want to have a good chunk of power in there to finish your foes off, because they could very well be running a very fat dragon, and what are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do about about that big fat dragon?
Mark, you have a lovely baritone.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What was your drive?
I drafted blue-green, which during the draft, I was a little bit like, oh, am I fucking this up real hard? Because am I supposed to be, you know, friendly colors? Am I supposed to be, you know, blue-white? Am I supposed to be red-black?
Why do you think that?
Well, because those are the color pairs of the dragons.
The dragons.
But in fact, it's mostly only gold cards and a couple of uncommons that are gold, that are two-color cards anymore. So I ended up being very happy with my blue-green deck.
Yeah.
As we already mentioned, I know, for one, that there were only two blue drafters at the table, which was very good.
That's awesome.
And only two green drafters at the table. So both of the colors felt very, very open, which obviously they were. And two Ojutai summons and two Ojutai interceptors was quite nice. And then I splashed for Ojutai himself.
Perfect.
And I did, you know, I picked him up. He got passed to me. Impact 2.
Sick.
And I picked him up and I said, do you know what? I don't know if this is a thing that you can do anymore. I don't know if you can splash a third color.
Great question, but guess what?
Do you know what? I did.
You can. I didn't even think about it. It didn't even cross my mind, like, to play a third color because I was like, well, we simply aren't going to have the fixing. It's not going to be a thing.
I played...
But there are a few lands.
Yeah, I picked up two lands and I played a nice mana base of 9/8/4 with... or 9/8/3 with Ojutai being my only white card. Yeah,
that's fine.
Three plains, you know, 9 forests because I had a lot of early double green, and 8 islands, which was always enough to cast my double blue spells.
You know what? At this draft, what I just realized is interesting.
Hmm.
Everybody had a mythic in their deck except for me.
Jane, I'm so sorry. It's so difficult.
But that's a lot of mythics to open. That's pretty lucky towns.
Mm-hmm. There is a Eugene in our pool.
Yeah, we had Eugene.
He did not get played.
Nobody played Eugene. Yep.
So sad. You would think Eugene goes in any deck. He's colorless. But no. It was it was a very aggressive drafter.
I had to pass 2 Goblin Heel Cutters, Mark. Do you know how that made me feel?
Jane, I imagine that hurt.
It was like watching the true love of my life be whisked down the river in a barrel full of snakes, poison snakes.
You know, that's actually how Sunrise and I met.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You saved her life from poison snakes in a barrel?
Yes. I didn't have to watch her go in a barrel, but someone else had to watch her go. But I caught her farther down the river.
Oh, my husband, the author of Doonesbury, and I met just in a bathroom.
Oh.
I accidentally walked into the men's and he was at the urinal. True love.
Fascinating.
At first pee.
Yes. I mean, at least you know everything right up front.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You are well aware.
I'm a journalist. I want to know.
Absolutely.
The first thing I ask on a date is take off your pants. Let's just show me what's going on.
Yeah. That's not so much a question as a demand.
That's true. That's
I
true.
Have to be very familiar with questions versus demands because I have to inflect them differently when I'm acting.
You, yeah, mm-hmm. As yeah. Shakespeare taught us.
As Shakespeare taught us.
Worst cards of Dragons of Tarkir.
Let's start, Jane, with the good old-fashioned Wooburg. White.
White.
What are some of the, in your journalistic opinion, what are some of the worst white cards in this set?
Oh, my website's not loading, Mark.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
Let's see. Well,
I'll go ahead and get started.
Okay.
I think Battle Mastery.
Ooh, it just sucks.
Piece of crap.
It's a junk hole, as we say
exactly.
In the biz.
Exactly. You know, I am also in the media biz, and we do in fact call it a junk hole.
Yeah.
2 and a white, enchant creature. Enchanted creature has double strike.
Double,
boo.
No.
Boo.
This is bad because
boo.
You're paying 3 for it.
3.
And leaving yourself wide open to getting blown out the poop tube.
That's right. Which we all know is a dragon's tail.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Poop funnel.
Poop funnel. And you know, it's not, it's just that it also, it doesn't make its butt any bigger.
What, the poop funnel?
No, the battle master.
Oh.
Battle Mastery does not
no
does
it
not
does
make
absolutely
your
nothing
but any bigger, so it's still gonna die to a lot of the same things.
It also doesn't make their front any bigger.
That's true. And you know, if it wasn't gonna kill it in combat, like maybe it'll kill it now, but you need to kill it with first strike damage or else, you know, your guy's still gonna die. Just all around bad news.
Correct. How do you feel about Dragon's Eye Sentry?
I feel like that card is awful.
I feel like it's good in maybe one matchup.
I feel like it's... there is one matchup out there.
The rest, terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. One mana, white, defender, first strike, 1/3. Please no, never.
Just don't do it.
Real bad news, I would say. Very bad news.
We could mention sideboard cards in here, but you all know when you're supposed to use them, when you're not supposed to use them.
Fate Forgotten? We're not going to main deck it, Jane.
No.
But we'd absolutely,
no, we absolutely
pull
are
it
not
out
Mark.
Of a sideboard if we're going to lose to Citadel Siege.
Oh, God. Citadel
you know?
Siege.
That's a thing that happens, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's...
Resupply.
That's true. Resupply. Don't play it.
Talking about
Get
things
it out.
That aren't worth 6 mana. 6 life draw a card. No, thank you.
No. You're
no,
like, but I'm getting 6
you.
Life. No.
No. At 6
and
mana.
And drawing a card.
6 mana, you're probably dead. It probably
so you
matter.
Won't even pay 6 to draw a card anymore? Well, I see what kind of deal seeker you are.
Look, Jane, I love drawing cards as much as I love making films.
Oh, but as much as. Oh, yep. All right.
But I'm not going to pay 6 mana to draw a card.
All right, are you going to play Scale Blessing? 3 and a white, bolster 1, then put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control with a 1/1 counter on it.
You know, Jane, I don't think it's great, but I think that there are situations in which it is playable.
Okay.
But certainly situations in which it is not.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wow, Wizards' website really is a piece of garb on my phone.
Yes, if we're talking about things that are bad, the Wizards' website is right up there.
Oh, boy.
Right up there. Unimpressive also. Territorial Rock.
Territorial Rock. Real cute. Sometimes. But bad.
Very cute. And it might flesh out a deck sometimes.
Yeah.
It has its place, but not good.
I'm trying to remember that one cutest card was a 1/3 flyer.
Seacoast Drake?
Yeah.
He was very cute, Jane.
Cuter than Territorial Rock. I would think Ancient Carp is a piece of carp, personally.
That is true. 4 and a blue for a 2/5. It's pretty bad. I also think Blessed Reincarnation.
Yeah, that does not seem great.
Seems terrible. 3 and a blue for an instant. Exile target creature an opponent controls. That player reveals cards from the top of his or her library until a creature card is revealed. The player puts the card on the battlefield and shuffles the rest into his or her library. Rebound.
No.
So you might just be upgrading their things
yeah.
for them.
Yeah.
You might
You don't
be.
Know.
You don't know.
You're rolling the dice.
You don't know.
It's like friendly fire. Megan, Mark, tell me, would you be playing Glint, 1 and a blue target creature gets +0/+3 and hexproof until end of turn?
Tell me, Jane, how good are the creatures in my deck?
They're medium.
Well, then probably not.
Okay.
But if I have a Dragonlord Silumgar hanging around,
maybe
I might
you
play
will.
A Glint.
Yeah, I
might
guess what
play
you're
a
saying.
Glint.
Ooh, I found a real stink pile.
Tell
Learn
me about
from
it.
The past. 3 and a blue, target player shuffles his or her graveyard into her library, draw card.
Absolutely. It has a place.
It does.
And a time, but those places and times are very few and far between.
Correct.
Very, very far between.
P.S. Living Lore looks like a bunch of underpants. I said this on Twitter, but just look at it.
If you look up Jane Pauley's Twitter, will see a tweet about Living Lore.
Yep.
It's a fact.
That's me. Jane Pauley's Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Well,
You know, although overall, blue is okay.
I'm not seeing too much poop. I mean, I don't know quite how I feel about... Nah, I think it's good.
About
just
which
kidding.
One?
I've revised my opinion. I was going to say, I'm not sure about the 04 for 1, Sidisi's Faithful, for 1 blue exploit. When it exploits a creature, return to target creature's owner. Never mind, I like it.
Yeah, 1 blue, bounce a creature?
I yes, like please. It. I don't like this 1/4, really, for 3, 2 and a blue, flying, 1/4, updraft elemental.
Yep. I'll updraft you.
I'm just not playing that.
Nope, I agree.
But you know, the rest of this is fine.
It's
blue
fine.
Looks strong.
Yeah, I like blue.
Yeah. Black?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. You know, Acid Spewer Dragon makes me want to spew acid.
I think it's fine. You know what?
It's fine. You know what? You're right,
three.
Jane. You can play it face down. So it is what it is.
Defeat. I don't know. I just want to talk about this card for a second.
Mm-hmm.
How good do you think that is? 1 and a black, destroy target creature with power 2 or less, sorcery. Definitely tried to play as an instant this weekend. Whoops.
Yes. It is certainly not as good as its predecessor, Debilitating Injury.
Definitely not.
Or its other predecessor, Jousting Gloom.
Definitely not.
It is simply not as good as either of those cards.
Correct.
But those cards are quite good, so it's a high ceiling. But this is setting a low bar underneath the high ceiling.
Definitely don't put a low bar under a high ceiling.
Don't.
Especially if you're as tall as me, Jane Qualley, because I am
How tall are you, Jane?
I'll look it up later.
Another card I was kind of wondering about, Deadly Wanderings, 3 black black, enchantment. As long as you control exactly one creature, that creature gets +2/+0 and has death touch and lifelink. That seems like you're opening yourself up to having
yeah.
more creatures.
I think that's
no
really
creatures.
Dangerous.
Yeah, I think. Maybe.
And then they kill it, and then you also don't have any creatures to play after that. I mean, maybe in a deck with, like, not many creatures, but...
Maybe. And a lot of kill spells.
Foul Tongue Invocation, 2 and a black, instant. As an additional cost, you may reveal a dragon from your hand. Target player sacrifices a creature. If you reveal the dragon, you gain 4 life.
No. No.
Not doing it.
Nope. Do you know how many times you're going to get a shitty creature?
100.
98.
Okay.
I mean, 2% of the time it will get something good. Okay. I'll give you that. No, piece of crap.
I don't know if I'm ever going to play Hedonist Trove. It doesn't seem good.
I agree.
Hedonist 5 black, black. Enters the battlefield. Exile all cards from target opponent's graveyard. You may play land cards exiled with Hedonist Trove. You may cast non-land cards exiled with Hedonist Trove. You may cast more than one. You can't cast more than one spell each turn. Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yep. Yawn. Yawn. Crappy.
Weirdos Terrible. Are going to try and make that good.
Terrible.
It's not my jam.
But you know what? It's not. It's not Villainous Wealth. I know they want it to be, and it's not.
Sorry.
Sorry, friends. It simply is not a good card.
Yep.
Don't do it.
Agreed.
Oh, well.
Well, the rest of this black's looking okay. I like the Cobra. That Cobra is frickin' sweet.
The 2/5 Death Touch Cobra for 4.
Yeah.
I agree. That card
Wandering Tomb Shell, though. Not good. Not good.
Wandering Tomb Shell,
1/6
yes.
for 4.
Virulent Plague. 2/2 a black. Creature tokens get -2/-2. I will stay away from that as though it is a virulent plague.
Very good. Sideboard material right over there.
Yes. I mean, it against exactly one deck ever that you will play.
Oh, in my target deck, I forgot to say, I did have Crater Elemental, which is 2 red for the 0/6 that you can pay and turn it into an 8/6.
That's scary. That's scary. And you can also sack it to deal 4 damage.
Yeah, he's flexible. He's great.
That card seems quite good.
I loved it.
I
loved it in my heart. Dragonlord Servant, 1 red for a 1/3. Dragon spells cost you 1 less to cast.
Mm.
No.
Agreed.
I don't think it's worth it. I mean, maybe if you have some really super 2 or 3 great dragons, but for still. A 1/3? And what are the chances still alive?
Yep, that's true.
Not very good.
I mean, it seems pretty underwhelming. Impact Tremors. 1 red. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, Impact Tremors deals 1 damage to each opponent. No.
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 Not happening.
This card will have not the impact that you are looking for it to have on the game state.
You know, I don't know if I asked this on the show. The card Tail Slash. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target creature you don't control. Why is it called Tail Slash? Why isn't it called Face Slap?
Well, because dragons fight with their tails.
But then this sounds like Booty Battle to me, right? Tail Slash, I feel like it's going to be hitting with its toughness.
That's true, but a dragon's tail is long enough to wrap around to its front again.
Oh, so I got it.
So it's, you know, it can attack in front of it with its tail still.
So that card, really good, by the way. Not bad at all.
Yes, quite good. I agree.
Especially in red. Jeez. These red cards don't look too bad for me.
I agree.
Vandalize, not playing that. 4 red, though. Sorcery, choose 1 or both. Destroy target artifact, destroy target land. Sideboard
Boo.
Card.
Boo.
Boo.
Boo. Giant Boo. There's not even any artifacts worth destroying in this set.
Yeah, what about Vial of Dragonfire?
You're right.
For 5, I'm going to destroy that. Weird. You know what's interesting?
What, Jane?
Anok Survivalist, 1 green for a 2/1 Megamorph.
Mm-hmm.
When it's turned face up, destroy target artifact or enchantment and opponent controls. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay. But honestly, I wanted my 3/2 bear more than I wanted him in my deck.
I agree.
Interestingly enough.
As a Megamorph, he is absolutely acceptable to play.
He is.
I think that he is, you know, he is fine.
He's okay.
He is quite reasonable.
Yep, yep. Well, let's see what else we got here.
I think that for limited, Collected Company, 3 green, look at the top 6 cards of your library, put up to 2 creature cards with converted mana cost 3 or less from among them onto the battlefield, put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
Hmm.
It is an instant. It does get 2 creatures for 4 mana, maybe. But the thing is, that's a real big maybe in limited.
Yeah, it is.
So maybe you have 12 creatures that are 3 or less. Then maybe I'm playing this. But other than that, you know, I don't love it.
Revealing Wind, 2 green, instant, prevent all combat damage that'll be dealt this turn. You may look at each face down creature that's attacking or blocking. It's a fog. Fogs are horrible. Only bring them in if you're in a severe race situation.
Winds of Chalcisma was a noted outlier.
Yes,
because
it was.
It could quite easily be a one-sided.
Correct.
Fog, which was quite good. You know, Jane, I forgot to mention that in my Saturday daytime release deck, I had a Death Mist Raptor, which is 1 green for a 3/3 death touch. And when a permanent you control is turned face up, you may return it from your graveyard to the battlefield face up or face down, because it is a megamorph. Sick. Quite good. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit.
Well, this is revealing to me that there's not a whole super ton of poop cards in this set.
It's true. I mean, I would say that, you know, again, the ceiling is quite high on how good these cards are, and the bar is not too low. It is a medium bar underneath a high ceiling.
Correct. I mean, you're not going to play Keeper of the Lens, one colorless, for a 1/2. You can look at target face-down creatures you don't control.
We really hope that you aren't.
I really hope your heart you're not going to play that card.
We really hope that you aren't. I'm not sure that I would play Obscuring Aether, green. Face-down creature spells cast cost one less to cast.
No.
That seems, you know.
You could go deep, but...
But, you know, what if you draw it late?
Then
what if
it's
you even
totally
draw it in
dead.
The mid game?
Dead.
What if you even draw it in the mid game?
Dead.
I would only ever want that on turn one.
Correct.
After that, I don't want it anymore.
I don't want it anymore.
I don't want it anymore. Which
would you
is
play
a line that
this
I have
card?
In the upcoming
movie?
In the upcoming
Avengers 2?
Film, The Age of Ultron.
Oh, you say that?
I say that.
Let me hear it again.
I don't want that anymore.
That you. I feel like you could say that line better. You sound
Jane,
really weird and
you,
British.
Are you, as a reporter, trying to give me, as an actor, notes?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Well, Jane, you're just going to have to see the film, for which I will win an Oscar.
We'll see about that.
I think we will.
I have won so many awards. I'll tell you about them later.
I look forward to hearing it.
Would you play Tapestry of the Ages, 4 colorless, artifact, 2, tap, draw a card. Activate this ability only if you've cast a non-creature spell this turn.
How much does it cost to cast?
4.
Unfortunately, as much as I love anything that says draw a card.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I can, Jane.
I know. Me either.
I don't know that I can.
I agree. Don't worry about it. I am on your side.
Thank you. Thank you. It's comforting to know that you are here on my side.
You're welcome. So, listeners, those are some of the worst cards in Dragons of Tarkir. If we've missed any, tweet at us at MTAcast and let us know. There's some real buttholes, but there's also, notably, just a lot of non-buttholes.
Yes.
Much like
absolutely.
Planet Earth, lots of buttholes and also lots of non-buttholes, because there's lots of other things that aren't buttholes, like flowers, trees, cheesecake, buttons, hair, clams, nose rings, Peter Pan productions at local high schools. I could go on.
Absolutely.
I would like you to know that me, Jane Pauley, won a Paul White Award, which is a Radio and Television Digital News Association Award in 1998. And that is it. That is the only award I've ever won.
Oh, well, congratulations on that one.
Anyway.
That's quite the accolade.
Mark, what are you going to miss from Cons of Tarkir now that it's dead and in its grave and people are already peeing on it?
Why are people urinating on a grave, Jane?
Punks. Young punks.
What is the world coming to?
Tell me about it.
Find out in my new film, The Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Anyways, Jane, you know, I was just thinking the other day how much I'm going to miss Arc Lightning.
Yeah, you were. I remember you saying that.
I'm really going to miss it. I really liked casting Arc Lightning.
I think that is understandable, as that is a good card.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Wow, I really did host the Today Show. Sorry. I'm done telling you facts about my life.
Great. You know, and I, as much as it's a little bit of a relief to be drafting a set that is mostly two color decks, there was, you know, there was an intricacy and there was an interestingness to drafting three color decks that I'm going to miss.
It was our first time venturing into three colors. And while it was scary waters with hard to read signals, I must say it definitely was interesting.
Absolutely it was. And I personally enjoyed it. I'm going to miss Teemer, Snowhorn Riders.
Oh, I will always miss Teemer. That's something I'll miss for sure. Teemer being a great deck.
Absolutely.
Man. I mean, maybe someday I'll pull Sarkhan, the new Sarkhan, and I'll play him and then I'll play Teemer.
Maybe then you will.
My old days, glory days will be here again.
Sarkhan Unbroken.
He's so pretty now.
Absolutely. What are you going to miss, Jane?
I'm going to miss playing morphs that were simpler than just Megamorph. So, for instance, just turn it up, and it doesn't kill anything out of nowhere. It doesn't, you know, explode into the air in a pile of confetti. It just turns up into a 4/4 lifelinker.
Absolutely.
Simplicity in design. That's I like true. It. Clean. It's a morph. Twink. It's a Wooly Loxodon. Got it.
I am going to miss knowing what all of the cards in the are. Set were.
It'll because, come. It'll
let me
come.
Tell you, this past weekend was sometimes a nightmare.
I mean, it that's a pre-release, right?
A nightmare.
You don't know what's coming at you.
You really don't. You You'll can learn. Study. You You'll can learn. Read set reviews, but you can't prepare yourself for everything.
No.
Not even for a role in a movie.
Not even for that my report on the state of the world's sperm banks.
Wow, that was an interesting report. I remember watching it.
Yep. Spoiler alert. They've got enough. I mean, I assume.
I am going to... There are some mechanics that I'll also, you know, I'll be sad. I'm sad to say goodbye to.
Such as?
You know, we don't have any more Outlast.
No. Outlast was a good mechanic.
Yeah, and now it's gone.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Outlast. You were fun mana sink. You helped fight Screw, and you helped fight Flood, giving us something to do when we had nothing else to do.
Absolutely.
So we thank you for that.
And for that, we thank you.
I want to thank you for giving me the best mechanic of my life. Just kidding. You weren't the best, but you were all right.
You were pretty good. Let's see. Our, you know, our friend Delve is sticking around. We'll see him in Fate Reforged.
Delve, also a good mechanic, and also another way to fight Flood. I mean, that's funny now that I think about it. All these mechanics are helping us, even including Morph and Megamorph, play spells when we either have too much mana or not enough.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And, you know, we still have a little bit of Ferocious.
Yeah, we have a little bit of Ferocious pairing very well.
With Formidable.
Formidable.
Absolutely. We still have a little bit of Ferocious.
BFFs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll miss some of the cards like Ponyback Brigade. I miss Ponybacks.
Yeah, Ponyback Brigade.
That was a nice one.
You know, some of our raid cards.
I'll miss Wingmate Rock.
I'll miss Mardu Heart Piercer.
Oh, great card.
What a great card. Oh, Mardu Heart Piercer. You were the best of us.
All right, this funeral service is over. I'm going to go eat some of the bars that people made in the back.
Yeah, people really, they really turned up for this Cons of Tarkir wake.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all, I mean, no one wants to say it because it's a little hurtful, but I think we all know that we're thinking it. We wish it had been Fate Reforged that had gone.
Whatever, Mark.
I wish that it had been Fate Reforged that went instead.
I understand. I hated sets too in my day. Can't think of one right now that I hated. Oh, yeah. M14?
M13? M15. This most recent one?
The one before as well. Oh,
you hated M14. I loved M14 because blue was so good.
Yes.
So good.
You only wanted to draft blue.
I personally hated my role in 13 going on 30. Even though Jennifer Garner is an attractive woman. I'm ashamed that I
made
say, that film.
I am ashamed you did
that
too.
I made that film.
I'm sorry.
It is what it is.
Well, Mark, that's our show for this week.
Oh, Jane, thank you for stepping in and helping me host this podcast.
Hey, no problem.
Our normal hosts, Megan and Maria, were out.
Well, you know what? I am a host for my job, so
that's
what
right.
I do.
And I am the face of Hostess, the pastry.
You are?
Manufacturer.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, I'll have you know I used to have my own show. Did you know that? It was called The Jane Pauley Show, and it was a syndicated talk show during the day. Only
Congratulations.
Had one season.
Well, do you know what? One season is still more than most people get of their own talk show.
Thank you, Mark. You made me feel better.
Absolutely. Anytime.
No probs. Hey, if you want to listen to the show more, I, Jane Pauley, have a recommendation for you. You can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, mtgcast.com, themeatery.org, which is a social network for magic fan, so get on and sign up at the Meadery if you want to chit-chat with other magic players, and find this podcast there every week, as well as, obviously, magicthamateuring.com!
Yes, if you'd like to get in contact, unfortunately, you cannot contact me, Mark Ruffalo, without going through my agent, and I will be very busy in the coming months press circuit.
I'm sure you will.
For the Avengers Age of Ultron, but if you'd like to see me, please go see that film.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'd like to get in touch with Maria or Megan, you know, you can tweet at them at MTAcast or email them magicthamateuring@gmail.com.
That's right. I'm sure me, Jane Pauley, has a Twitter account which you can like tweet at me and tell me what a good job I did on this episode of Magic the Amateuring. I would love to hear that.
And I, Mark Ruffalo, also have a Twitter account, which I would love to have you tweet at me and tell me what a great job I did hosting Magic the Amateuring.
That would be so wonderful.
We would really appreciate that.
So great.
Professionally.
I'm sure the ladies of Magic the Amateuring, Marie and Megan, would appreciate it. If you find value in this podcast, if you're like, oh, this makes me smile, this makes me have a feeling inside that's not unlike sex, please donate at their Patreon page. That's patreon.com/MTAcast for as little as a dollar. Great rewards for you if you think this is something that you would like to support and help make happen and makes you have a chucks every week. And because people have been supporting us and we thank them so, ever so much for what they have done, you can now see draft videos every week on YouTube.
Absolutely.
From Maria. And hopefully Megan will get on that pretty soon too.
Someday I'm sure she will.
Okay.
Someday very soon.
Well, Mark.
Well, Jane.
I don't think we're ever going to see each other ever again.
Probably not. We really move in such different circles.
We do.
But it has been a pleasure meeting you for this hour and talking magic with you.
It really has, Mark.
So, you know, as they say in your business.
Yep.
Good night and good luck.
Good luck. High five.
High five.